Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 74 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Jared Wesley.
There's absolutely no question that communities that have scheduled commercial air service are generally more successful in attracting new investment, new business, and new jobs.
Non-stop passenger service from Pikeville to Nashville will begin in March, and consultant Luke Schmidt says it should help bring new investment to eastern Kentucky.
Police arrest a man in connection with a double fatality in Morgan County Saturday.
And a former Aberdeen mayor is suing the Brown County Board of Elections.
In sports, 10 NBA games are on tap tonight, one involving an undefeated team.
But Luke has the business news.
Showers likely this evening, lows near 42. The complete weather forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
Kentucky State Police have made an arrest in connection with a hit-and-run accident last weekend in Morgan County that left two people dead. 30-year-old Tony Kegley Jr. of West Liberty was taken into custody Tuesday and charged with manslaughter and leaving the scene of an accident in connection with the deaths of Elizabeth Thornsberry of Ezel and Tony Ross of Clearfield. The two were run down Saturday night while they were standing near a road outside a bar in the Maytown community. Trooper Jill Veneman says help from a social media website led the KSP to Kegley.
We actually had received a tip through our Facebook page, which is operated out of headquarters. And through that anonymous tip, we were able to locate Mr. Kegley Jr., and we were able to locate his vehicle. We were able to obtain a search warrant shortly after that and execute the search warrant, which at that time we recovered his vehicle.
Kegley is being held in the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center in Paintsville.
The Moorhead Post of the Kentucky State Police is being credited with making 13 arrests as part of last night's statewide Black Friday drug roundup. Detectives from Post 8 arrested five Round County residents as part of their investigation. Matthew Bowman, Morgan Cooper, Thomas Ferris, Kimberly Johnson, and Kimberly Kaiser are facing various charges, including trafficking in a controlled substance and selling a simulated controlled substance. Six Bath Countyans and two from Powell County were also arrested last Friday. The KSP's Drug Enforcement Special Investigation Section, the Stanton Police Department, and the Powell Sheriff's Department assisted Post 8 in the roundup.
Olive Hill's former mayor may change his plea in connection with a drug case. MSPR's Austin Burke has that story.
According to the Grayson Journal-Times, Danny Sparks may admit to a charge that he attempted to traffic marijuana within 1,000 yards of a school when he appears in Career District Court on December 2nd. He was in court Monday. The two sides in the case have been trying to come to a plea deal but have yet to be able to do so. Commonwealth's attorney Brandon Eisen says he did not agree to a pre-trial diversion application filled recently by Sparks' lawyer Robin Webb, which could have allowed the former mayor to have his record expunged if he went a certain amount of time without committing yet another offense. Sparks was arrested a year ago and is currently facing 1 to 5 years in jail if convicted. He's pled not guilty. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Austin Burke.
The Associated Press is reporting that former Aberdeen, Ohio Mayor Garland Renshin has filed a civil rights lawsuit against the Brown County Board of Elections. He's seeking $1.5 million in damages, claiming the board members portrayed him in media reports as a cheat and a briber. Renshin was cleared of voter intimidation charges. His suit was filed in federal court.
Kentucky State Representative John Tilley was among a group of officials from several states who testified in Washington today on reducing prison costs. The Hopkinsville Democrat is chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. He told members of the U.S. Senate's judiciary panel that putting more people behind bars doesn't equate to better public safety. By the end of 2010, says Tilley, Kentucky had increased its prison population by 45%, four times the national average. He says the Commonwealth was incarcerating one out of every 92 people.
All that spending, well over a 200% increase in the previous 20 years, amounted to very little. Recidivism remained well above the national average. Our crime rate had always been relatively flat. Most, as you've heard, the crime rate has been dropping for some time, but we only enjoyed about a third of that national crime rate drop. We were about 6% over the previous decade of our study. The rest of the country was about 19%.
Tilley says that's why the Kentucky legislature approved a comprehensive corrections bill in 2011 that allows for alternative sentences for some nonviolent felons. He says the law is already reducing the number of repeat offenders and is expected to save Kentucky $400 million over the next decade.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is citing the 2012 firing of a Kentucky police sergeant as the reason Congress should pass the Employment and Non-Discrimination Act. The Democrat says Kyle Nave was dismissed from the Audubon Park Force in Metro Louisville after he complained that he was being harassed because he's gay.
Kentucky is one of 33 states with no statute preventing discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. But Louisville has a local non-discrimination ordinance, and the department had a written policy against sexual harassment, although it did not expressly protect against discrimination based on sexual orientation.
Reid says that's why a federal law is needed. Last month, the Metro Louisville Human Relations Commission ruled that Nave was discriminated against because of his sexual orientation.
Kentucky is frequently cited by supporters of the Affordable Care Act as a place where the federal health care law is working well, but don't tell that to Republican Senator Mitch McConnell. He says there's quite a disparity between the number of Kentuckians who purchased insurance on the state exchange and those who are seeing their policies canceled.
In Kentucky, 5,000 have signed up and 280,000 have lost their policies. In other words, so far about 56 times as many Kentuckians have lost their private insurance plans as have gotten new ones on the state exchange. Hardly what most people would define as a success.
McConnell says most of the Kentuckians now obtaining health insurance are doing so through the expanded Medicaid program.
A columnist for a conservative political magazine is making a bold prediction in the Republican primary for U.S. Senator in Kentucky. John Fund writes for the National Review and offered the forecast in Washington Tuesday during a public forum on the 2014 elections. Fund says veteran incumbent Mitch McConnell will beat Tea Party challenger Matt Bevin.
I will eat the carpet if Mitch McConnell loses. I will eat the carpet. It's not going to happen. Incumbents are much tougher to beat.
Fund says Republican incumbents facing Tea Party opposition in next year's primaries will simply move to the right to get the party nomination. Fund's analysis was part of a program broadcast on C-SPAN Radio.
Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Allison Lundergan Grimes says federal right-to-work legislation would not benefit working families in Kentucky. Grimes made the comment to reporters in Louisville Tuesday after accepting the endorsement of the Kentucky AFL-CIO at the organization's convention. She says unions have played a key role in improving the lives of many people, and a right-to-work law would undermine that progress.
Right-to-work is simply wrong for the state of Kentucky. It's about recognizing and knowing that labor has literally lifted millions out of poverty, and that it is labor that is the way we're going to continue to grow the middle class of the state and make sure that everyone has an equal voice.
Republican Senator Mitch McConnell introduced a right-to-work bill in the U.S. Senate this week. McConnell argues that workers should not automatically become union members when they're hired by a company. He says his plan would give them a choice of joining and/or paying dues to a labor group.
Appalachian Air will provide daily round-trip passenger service from the Pikeville-Pike County Regional Airport to Nashville this spring. The announcement was made at a press conference in Pikeville this morning. Luke Schmidt is president of L.B. Schmidt & Associates, a consulting firm which served as the air service project manager. He says the new service will begin March 3rd.
We will start with one daily round trip from Pikeville to Nashville. The outbound flight will depart early in the morning, probably around 6:30. It's a little over an hour and 15 minutes flying time to Nashville. And then once everybody gets there, they will have the opportunity to connect to any of the nine airlines that currently serve Nashville and fly on to 50 different nonstop destinations.
Schmidt says those destinations include cities throughout the United States, Canada, and Mexico. House Speaker Greg Stumbo says he hopes the new service will help lure more companies to the mountain region.
Ashland Incorporated Chairman James O'Brien is counting on investments the company made this year in its Valvoline lubricants to pay off in 2014. O'Brien says the firm put more money into promoting its portfolio of automotive chemicals and car care products, and should see that make a difference next year.
You saw us invest pretty heavily this year on both the marketing side as well as sales expansion. So what I'm expecting for that business next year is to, you know, watch its expenses very carefully and matter of fact, even lower their expenses. At the same time, yield some of the investments we made this year in higher sales and profit.
In short, says O'Brien, Valvoline profits should be up in 2014 while expenses are down. Valvoline is one of Ashland's highest profile brands and is part of its consumer markets unit.
As Morehead State continues with its plan to renovate its dormitories, University President Wayne Andrews says officials are still trying to figure out what to do about one of its aging residence halls. Andrews says MSU is looking at ways to fix up 44-year-old Cartmel Hall after considering possibly razing the building. Andrews notes the facility has already received some upgrades for its electrical and plumbing systems, which were installed side by side when Cartmel was constructed.
With 600 students living in a 16-story building, that wouldn't be a good idea. So this summer, we engaged a contractor, and we've resolved that issue. All the electrical was put in a conduit that really separates it from the plumbing work in that chase. And so now at least we've averted the potential for a major disaster.
At 16 stories, Cartmel Hall is the tallest building in Morehead. Andrews says refurbishing the old dorm would be less expensive than tearing it down and building a new facility.
And finally, this afternoon, sponsored by the Adult Basic Education and Literacy Advisory Council, the Storybook Christmas Project has been providing books to children in Rowan County for the past 23 years and is taking donations of either money or books for this Christmas season. Opal Fannin is the spokeswoman for the project. She says they'll be collecting books through the end of November at various locations, such as schools, banks, and the Adult Learning Center. She says it's important to provide books to needy kids.
Well, there is a strong correlation between learning to read and having a love of reading from an early age to doing well in school and then success as an adult.
Fannin says the project has distributed over 600 books to children in Rowan County during the past 3 to 4 years.
Looking at your weather tonight, showers with a low around 42 degrees and the chance of rain is 100%. On Thursday, much cooler, partly cloudy, highs near 52 degrees. On Thursday night, clear, lows around 30 degrees. On Friday, mostly sunny, highs around 50 degrees. On Friday night, mostly clear with lows around 30 degrees. Saturday through Sunday night, mostly clear, highs around 57 degrees. And on Veterans Day and Monday night, partly cloudy, highs near 58 degrees with lows in the upper 30s. On Tuesday, partly cloudy with a 20% chance of rain, highs right around 55 degrees. And on Tuesday night and Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of rain and lows near 35 and highs close to 46. Looking at your temperature around the listening area, in Ashland it is 73 degrees, in Flemingsburg 70 degrees, in Winchester it is also 70 degrees, in Lexington 68 degrees, in Inez 74 degrees, and here in Morehead it is also 74 degrees.
It is 4:43. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It is sure good to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, Morehead State's Department of Music, Theater, and Dance has teamed up with the Kentucky Center for Traditional Music to bring back a production last seen in the late 90s. MSPR's Jordan Simonson has the story.
The Mummers' play began to pop up in history in the 15th century through Europe in the Celtic cultures in Ireland, France, and Welsh. Mummers is a type of drama that has folklore rooted into its stories and was often used during celebrations and to pass down tales. Roma Prindle is a music professor at MSU and the producer of the Mummers' play.
The Mummers' play is more folk-oriented, and they go back centuries. And they are on themes of life and fertility and death and rebirth, and very much folk-centered in the ritual of everyday life.
This is not Morehead's first run of a Mummers' play. In the late 90s, Prindle received a grant to produce the Mummers' play, and it took the stage in 1999. The play received such successful feedback that the company took the production on a year-long tour through Ireland. Prindle says that her first Mummers play mimicked those of the past.
That one was fairly traditional in that we used some of the stock characters from the Mummers plays. We have there's a man, woman, and there is a hobby hoss. There's a doctor, there's a hero, and a bad guy who's usually a dragon.
This year's Mummer play got rolling when MSU Music Department Chair Don Grant contacted Prindle about collaborating with the Kentucky Center of Traditional Music on a new production.
It was just tailor-made because they were with us, some of the people who worked there, Leo Blair and his White Horse String Band. They played for our previous Mummers shows, and we got together and decided we'd be able to do this.
The White Horse String Band isn't the only group collaborating on the project. Prindle says that there is a vast amount of talented performers that will be taking part in the show.
We have, at this point, some local people who are known in the community for, you know, their work with theater and church choirs, and the White Horse String Band. We also have some instrumental people here from our department, students, and a couple of students from the Black Gospel Ensemble and opera.
This year's production is being brought into the 21st century, says Prindle. The conflict is being brought closer to home by the play focusing on coal. She notes that the Mummers play does not take sides on the issues.
And there is a conflict that is still pretty controversial in this area. The controversy is about coal, and we don't come down on one side or the other, but we air it out. And the only thing we know to do is to keep talking about it, to keep the lines of communication open, so people don't assume that one side or the other does this or that or the other.
Prindle hopes that viewers of a new Kentucky Mummers play will be able to get in touch with their heritage. And she is very pleased that she is able to do another Mummers play. She says the performances are healing and uplifting.
As they say, if you don't know where you come from, you don't know where you're going. That really speaks to me still, and I hope it will speak to our audiences as well.
A new Kentucky Mummers play will be shown this Thursday, November 7th, and Friday, November 8th, at the Rowan County Arts Center. Tickets are $8 for adults and $5 for seniors and kids. MSU students can see the production for free with their ID card. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Jordan Simonson.
It is 4:47. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Chase has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided by Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky. From small towns to big cities, wherever you go in Kentucky, there's a good chance you'll see a Toyota Camry. And for good reason. It's America's best-selling sedan made right here in the Bluegrass. But Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky does more than build world-class cars in Kentucky. They're an important part of our communities, providing thousands of jobs and millions in donations to local organizations. Toyota is honored to be a part of your community.
Plenty of basketball being played in the NBA tonight. Good evening, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chase Scott. With the NBA in full swing, there will be a slew of games on the schedule tonight. In the highlighted matchup, the 4-0 Indiana Pacers will look to keep their record unblemished as they welcome in Derrick Rose and the 1-2 Chicago Bulls. Even though they haven't lost a game yet, Pacers forward Paul George thinks there is still better basketball to be played by the Indiana squad.
You know, we're not playing our best basketball yet. So much areas that we can improve on, I think. But right now, we're just winning on, you know, still our defense, you know, upholding and, you know, our shot making and shot creating ability, you know, but we still got to smoothen some crinkles on our offense and, you know, get things smoothing out if we want to, you know, improve and get better going forward.
In the other games around the league, the 76ers will host the Wizards. The Clippers will be on the road to face the Magic. Timberwolves will welcome in the Warriors. The Suns will play the Spurs in San Antonio, and the Thunder will host the Mavericks. One other note from the NBA, the New York Knicks face the prospect of not having Tyson Chandler for between 4 to 6 weeks. The center suffered a broken bone in his right leg in Tuesday night's loss to Charlotte. The good news for the Knicks is that Chandler does not need surgery. The third-ranked Louisville basketball team will be at the KFC Yum Center tonight at 7:07 to host Pikeville in its second and final exhibition game. Senior guard Tim Henderson says the contest will give the Cards another chance to further adjust the way the referees will be calling block charge fouls this season. Henderson admits that's forced the U of L guards to change the way they play defense.
Coach really wants guards to start helping more. So if a guy drives, you know, we're really preaching on being in help side defense instead of where in the past we would shade more towards the shooters. But now it's really all focused on stopping the ball completely and, you know, wanting them to kick out and then get a challenge shot or another drive.
Louisville starts the regular season on Friday at home against the College of Charleston. Moorhead State women's basketball coach Tom Hodges hopes the work of Mackenzie Aldridge during the Eagles' exhibition victory over Kentucky Christian will be a preview of what's to come this season from the junior center. Aldridge has 12 points and 12 rebounds in Moorhead's 95-73 triumph, and Hodges says that was important for both her and his team.
Very good sign for her to start that way. We've kind of talked, that's her price of admission. She needs to be a 12-12, 14-10, 16-14 type of player for us. She has that skill set. She just needs the confidence to go out and do it.
The MSU women are slated to open the regular season on Friday at noon against Norfolk State. Moorhead State football coach Rom Tenier hopes his Eagles can derail San Diego's hopes of winning this year's PFL title when they host the Toreros Saturday at Jane Stadium. San Diego is 5-1 in conference play and tied for first place with Butler and Marist. MSU saw its own hopes of contending for the championship last week fall when Coach Tenier's Eagles fell to 3-3 in league play after a 56-14 loss at Drake.
I'm not disappointed with where we're at. We've had some opportunities we let slip away, but I also remind our staff earlier this week that we were picked 7th in this conference. And so we're competing well for our first year. But with that said, I'd like to win a few more games this year in conference and finish up in the top tier.
Beating San Diego would be a big deal for the football Eagles, who are 0-8 lifetime against the Toreros. Round County's football team is prepping for its first-round game in the Class 4A playoffs. Coach Kyle Singleton admits the 3-7 Vikings will more than have their hands full when they visit 4th-ranked Covington Catholic on Saturday at 1 p.m.
They're a really good football team. You know, there's a reason they're ranked as far as one of the top teams in the state. You know, they got a great program there. They do a lot of things really well. They're extremely disciplined. They got some big, strong kids, and it's
going to
be a tough game for us.
CovCalf is 8-2 this season. The Colonels destroyed Rowan 67-3 in the first round of last year's Class 4A tournament. The Cincinnati Bengals are gearing up for another tough divisional game this Sunday as they hit the road to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. Last week, the Bengals fell in Miami in overtime to the Dolphins 22-20 on the Thursday night game. From that game, Cincinnati lost one of their key defensive backs in Geno Atkins, as he will be out the rest of the season due to a knee injury. Head coach Marvin Lewis says regardless of the circumstances, they have to be ready for a tough Ravens team.
This is a football team that's physical, put together well, obviously not having the season they've intended to have. We got to be ready to play. This time that we've been able to look at ourselves and evaluate ourselves has been good. We've had 5 weeks and another 5 weeks to analyze things, and now where we are, and let's knuckle down and get to the things that are going to be important.
The Bengals stand at 6-3 on the season with the top spot in the division, while the Ravens sit at 3rd with a 3-5 record. One other note from the NFL, Wade Phillips will take over as interim head coach of the Texans as Gary Kubiak works on getting back to work after suffering a mini stroke. Phillips, the team's defensive coordinator and a former head coach for Dallas, took over after Kubiak was taken to the hospital on Sunday. And finally, OVC tournament play for the Moorhead State soccer team starts Friday in Martin, Tennessee. The Eagles are seeded 2nd in the event and will face the winner of the first round game between Austin Peay and Southeast Missouri. MSU beat both those teams earlier this fall, but Coach Warren Lipka says that means little in the postseason.
It's a different mentality going into a conference championship than going into a regular season game. You know, it's, one, you're done, your season's over. So we talk about not being added pressure, just an added bonus to our season.
With a 7-3 league mark, the MSU soccer team finished 2nd during the OVC's regular season. That's a wrap for sports. Have a great evening. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Chase Scott.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Eagle football will host San Diego at 1 p.m. on Saturday. Volleyball will host two matches this weekend, Tennessee State Friday night at 7 p.m. and Belmont on Saturday at 5 p.m. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
It is 4:55. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Bud Luke has been keeping track of the stock market for us this afternoon, and Bud has this report.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks mostly climbed, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average notching another record close as investors bought into optimism that the Fed would continue its stimulus longer than thought ahead of economic reports this week on the economy and the labor market. And the Dow Industrials finishing with a gain of 128.66 at 15,746.88. The S&P 500 closed very close to its all-time high, as the S&P was up 7.52 at 1770.49, and the NASDAQ Composite actually showed a loss today of 7.92 at 3931.95. Of course, this is a day before the debut of Twitter, which will certainly generate a lot of interest in the technology sector tomorrow. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 15 to 14 in favor of winners over losers. Gold and oil both were up today. The dollar fell against most major currencies, and gold futures themselves added about 0.7% to $1,317.80 an ounce, while crude oil futures rose $1.43, or 1.5%. And, of course, oil reversing its recent trend of dropping. And stocks added to their gains earlier after the Conference Board's leading economic indicators index rose 0.7% for the month of September. In other company news today, not as much going on in the earnings news today as we have seen in recent sessions. Ralph Lauren did hike the low end of their full-year sales outlook on expectations of robust gains during the holiday season, with the upscale clothing retailer raising its dividend, this on the heels of an excellent earnings report for the third quarter. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 69 cents at $88.36. CSX down 21 cents at $26.25. AK Steel up 21 cents at $5.22. AEP up 67 cents at $46.74. Marathon Petroleum down 32 cents at $70.40. And Arch Coal is down 15 cents to finish at $4.38. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
At your weather tonight: showers, lows around 42 degrees, chance of rain near 100%. On Thursday, much cooler, partly cloudy, highs near 52 degrees. On Thursday night, cooler as well, clear, lows around 30 degrees. On Friday, mostly sunny, highs around 50 degrees. On Friday night, mostly clear, lows near 30 degrees. Looking at Saturday through Sunday night, mostly clear, highs around 57 degrees. Low in the upper 30s. On Veterans Day and Monday night, partly cloudy, highs near 58 degrees, lows in the upper 30s. Looking at your weather around the listening area, in Ashland it is 73 degrees, in Flemingsburg it is 70 degrees, in Winchester it is also 70 degrees, in Lexington 68 degrees, in Inez 74 degrees, and here in Moorhead it is also 74 degrees.
Americana Crossroads is coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, right after All Things Considered. And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Mike Williams, Shelby Steele, Chase Scott, Joshua Grandison, Sam Steyert, Caleb Noe, Austin Burke, and Jordan Simonson. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jared Wesley and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.